Hello and welcome to the Creatives Chronicles. My name is Bright Emeka, and this is the podcast that tells the stories of creative professionals, giving you the information and motivation you need to get started, stay focused, and thrive as a creative professional. Today on this episode, we have a phenomenal mind in the house. This person, he is amazing. He is the billionaire designer, he is a minimalist designer, and he is just phenomenal. If you see his works and projects, you'll be wowed. Like, seriously, he is that good. Joining us today is Mr. MM Didymus. Thank you so much, boss, for joining us.
Thank you. Yes, right. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure being here today.
I really appreciate. I don't take it for granted. I really appreciate you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So what we like doing in the first segment of this podcast is to go over the journeys of our guests. We look at how they got started in the industry. Okay, so would you mind just telling us your story, your intro story into the world of design and the industry, the creative industry?
Okay, basically I usually tell people, or I usually say that my journey into design started accidentally. It wasn't planned. It wasn't something I saw growing up, like, okay, I want to be an artist or I want to be a designer per se. While I was younger, I just wanted to be someone great. So, but I had an impression of becoming an engineer because of the environment I was molded into. So I was a science student, and on my mind there was just, man, I want to be an engineer. So along the line, while studying for a course in marine engineering, that was after my diploma, my ND, before going for my HND, during that process of IT, you know, you have this one IT before you start up your HND. So during the process of IT, I was unable to secure a place because I really needed to work where there are seagoing vessels, like places like Port Harcourt and Calabar or Lagos. So those were my target areas. So though I went to those mentioned states, but was unable to secure places. So along during that point, my eldest brother has this laptop which he uses to do the normal thing of seeing movies and maybe documenting one or two few documents. I started with the laptop, started with Corel Draw, started doing one or two designs on my own. Then from there, the love for design started growing. I enjoyed what I was doing, and the fancy of it giving me some free space made me love it more, because that was why I compared with my formal career, which is marine engineering. I noticed that design would give me lots more space and family time, because I families are actually dear to me. I hope to be around my family a lot of the time. So I compared both. I was like, okay, design would give me that time to be with my family compared to the maritime life, like where I would be going on board vessels for a couple of months and the rest. So that was how design started. I started working with designs, and my love for it grew stronger and stronger. Then I had to make a choice, either to go back to do my HND or not to go back to do my HND, like my HND in marine engineering, or go for a BSc in marine engineering. So I chose design at the long run of it. That was it.
Wow. Okay, you got started with experimenting and practicing with your brother's laptop. After you got started, did you get into any defined structure like a training center, or did you now take courses after your experimenting phase?
Not at all. Basically, what I did was, which I usually tell people that are starting up, is first, you need to understand that design here in the country is not as nice as it is outside here,
like, or structured.
The Western world is not that structured as the rest. So what I did mostly was to learn a lot of things online, because that's what a lot of designers here in Nigeria do. We are mostly self-taught. But I learned a lot online, and I had to connect with people that are already in the industry. Like, I had to reach out to people, talk to them, ask one or two questions that would guide me to in becoming a better designer. So that was how I started.
Wow.
But I actually have a plan of going into a formal institution regarding design soon.
Wow, amazing. Whoa. So you connected with mentors, you connected with people that were already in the industry.
Yes.
Okay. What were some of the initial challenges you experienced at the start of your design career?
Starting off my design career, the challenges were, firstly, I would say the internet, because since I acquired most of my knowledge online, since I got them online, having a strong internet that would make me consistent was one of my challenges, and it was difficult to get more tutorials online. I would sit down to watch tutorials because of poor internet. And another challenge was that, okay, I didn't have the design background, so it was a bit of an experimental journey for me, doing a lot of trial and errors to understand one or two things that were supposed to work the way it was supposed to work. So basically, those were my starting up challenges I had.
Wow. Okay, so how did you overcome some of them?
Okay. Those challenges, for the first one, which is the internet, I think it's still something we're facing until now, like up to this present time. We have internet issues in this country. Even when you have the internet working, it's that slow or not
going. Not going. Yeah.
All those kind of basic challenges. Then for the other angle of the challenges I had was that I had to read more, I had to follow more art related subjects online, obviously. So that was how I got to tackle that space of it. I connected more with art related topics, subjects online, blogs and the rest.
Okay, cool. Okay. Why did you choose brand identity? What made you choose that niche? And you're really good in it, like I must say that. Why did you decide to choose brand identity designs?
Okay. All right then, for now I would say I chose brand identity because, one, I am more of a very minimal person when it comes to design. I don't do much when it comes to design. And I've come to understand that, okay, at the point where we are right now, a lot of designs follows a minimal approach. So, and being a brand identity designer would give you that leverage of being minimal, because one key feature of working on a brand identity design is that you have to be minimal in order not to sway away the attention of your audience. So that gave me a choice that, okay, since I'm very minimal, I think I should stick with this
style, brand identity,
So I had to stick with that, so stick with brand identity as my own niche. But in the future, I don't know, I might end up doing something else. But for now, I just want to create a perception in the mind of people that, okay, whenever, like, why I tell some of my folks that when you think of Cyril Nado, you think of him as a footballer. So I wanted to create that perception. Okay, when you think of MMD Demos, you think of him as a logo guy or a brand identity guy. So that was my idea. Though I know I'm still growing within that field, but not as I started.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Do you have any, like, mentors or icons in the industry you look up to?
Yes. I have a lot of them, if I can remember their names right now. But I'll start locally. First, I have people I look up to, which is my best mentor, Tola Labi.
The boss.
Obviously, is one of the top guys in Nigeria.
Yeah.
He's also
yeah.
a local person.
Yeah.
So, Tola Labi is someone I've always looked up to, and he has given me that platform where I could reach out to him anytime. Not being that formal setting where you have to like maybe send a mail or something.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of calling him whenever I'm down where I need it. I'm at a point where I need an advice or something. So then I have Abinibidi. Abinibidi is also a great guy. I started out design looking out onto Abinibi even before I got to Modarupo. Abinibi, I have Uche Ugo. Uche Ugo too is also a great guy and a great colleague too. And just trying to think of names right now. Yorks too. Yorks,
he's also
a nice person who I look up to and I interact with too and share ideas with. Then for going outside the country, thinking of people outside, I have Chris Doe. The guy,
the future.
I have Mike Byroots and I have David I. The guy that wrote the design law. Is it
Logo Design Law? Logo Design Law.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
I have the Logo Smith too. So those are the guys that I look out to, and mostly if you observe they are more on the brand identity side.
So
those are people I look out to at the moment.
Wow, amazing. And it's also good that as any field of design one wants to go into, it's good to have like icons or role models that are in that same field so you could pattern and model yourself after. It's amazing, like phenomenal.
Yes.
Okay. If you were to start over in career, like start over from scratch, what would be some of the things you would not do, some of the things you would do more of, and some of the things you would do less of?
Well, that is more like a very deep question for me to think well before I say my response.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, if I have to start all over again, first, since I have identified what I want to do in life, which is designing, I definitely would want to go study maybe visual design, or go study maybe creative art or so, just an arts related field. You have to have a foundational insight of art and design itself. And secondly, I would one of the challenges I had, or one thing I learned while starting up, was that when I started, I actually was into web, both web and graphics.
Okay.
So, during the process, I intentionally thought of holding down on web and focus more on graphics.
Wow.
And I was just pushing graphics while leaving web behind. So right now, it was difficult to pick up from where I stopped. So one thing I would have done, if I have to start all over again, is to just put two of them along and side by side. I know it's really difficult, but it will actually pay me off. Me going back again to start up the way I am right now. So if I had been pursuing or pushing graphics and web together when I started, I'm sure by now I won't find it hard and doing web too. So that's actually one of the challenges I noticed, and I think if I have the chance to start all over again, I will tackle it from that.
Wow, amazing, boss, amazing. Okay, if someone comes to me and say, just if you could have one wish and you get this superpower, what one superpower would you wish to get?
What one superpower do I wish to get? Have I ever thought about that? never thought about that. But when I might say Superman though, because I actually loved Superman when I was young. So.
All right.
Because even if sometimes I feel it's not real, they're just but I would just say Superman.
Yeah, Superman is amazing. Yeah. He's amazing. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. In this field, there are a lot of misconceptions and a lot of like wrong notions people hold. So this segment is called Demystifying the Myths, where we take any myth in the industry and we'll demystify it. So would you like to pick any myth in the industry and demystify for us today?
Okay, I would want to pick a myth from the client's approach or from the non-designer's approach.
Okay.
Which is a perception that they think design is easy. Just because they feel, okay, all you have to do is just open your system and bam, press one or two buttons and everything is up. So that's what I would want to pick. Design, the way clients think design is easy.
Yeah, and it's not true. Because the thought process that go into it, like,
Sincerely, because why even try to let them understand, especially from my own angle of brand identity design? Because when I get a call sometimes, like, okay, hey man, I want to do a logo, and I need this logo by tomorrow. At first, I will just tell the client that, please, I am not the right person to work with. Like, I can't give you a logo by tomorrow. Because one, they need to understand that thinking through a design itself is a whole lot of work. And I have this three system in which I use in working on my brand identity, which is the conceptual approach, the conceptual phase, design phase, and the presentation phase. The conceptual execution and the presentation phase.
Wow.
Those are my three approaches in which I use to tackle them. And the conceptual phase has a lot into it, which is my research, brainstorming, getting your questionnaires, understanding your questionnaires. And so it has to do with a whole lot of thought process into it, where I have to dig up, research that industry you want, the industry the brand belongs. I need to research, I need to do a whole lot of storyline and study in it. And those guys kind of think can work within 24 hours.
Yeah.
So calling me and telling me you need a logo by tomorrow means that you just have to go to the normal Nigerian setting or going to Shomolu to get this working for you. The execution stage where it has to do with me trying to digitize that idea. Because sometimes when you think of an idea during your concept period and you digitize it, you end up seeing that what you have right thinking, it won't be as nice
as what you have on the screen.
So at the end of the day, you might start going into your concept stage again, because you might start trying to tweak what you have on the screen to really come out nice, because what you have on screen would be what most people would see more than what is just on that paper. The paper won't be going everywhere, but what you have on screen would go everywhere. So it has a whole lot of work when it comes to my own field, which is the brand identity stage. And the presentation stage is never left out, because trust me, no matter how good your designs are, everything is badass, it's so dope, this thing is awesome. And at the end of the day, you do not present it well to your clients, they wouldn't be convinced at all. They will not be convinced to buy your idea.
And
they might just turn you down. So your presentation has to be key. So you have to put your ideas, document your ideas properly for you to sell that impression to your target audience or your clients. So those three phases are my own kind of system in which I used to tackle brand identity design request. So I don't like doing rush work, and whenever a client calls me, I need a logo by tomorrow, I need a logo by next tomorrow. I find it funny, because sometimes some of them feel, it's simple now, there's nothing there now, they just open your laptop, do something. I tell you, see, there is a whole lot of thought process into this thing. You just see it, or rather, you might just see a simple thing, and you say, ah, this thing is very simple. And you think it just came out simple like that from my head. Mm-hmm. I had to break down. So you got to a point where you know, okay, I think I've broken enough. Mm-hmm. So let me stick with this. So,
wow.
So that myth of saying, ah, like clients saying, ah, design is a very simple thing and it's not difficult. No, I think it's an impression that has to be faced and be raised out of this planning.
Definitely. What one thing do you like hearing after you have taken all your time and done something? What one thing like gives you energy after spending time? Like for me, as a designer, if I see someone look at a design I've done and the person that did this thing thought through this, that is like, for me, that's, I'm satisfied with that response. Like, that does it for me. Okay.
All right. So, okay, basically, me, one thing that strikes me more, like I get fulfilled in, is one, because I work on commercial base. So if I have solved my client's problem, and I can convince that client that, okay, this is what will solve the problem. Because sometimes you might have a problem, you might have a solution to a problem, or and you present it to a client, the client might not really understand that solution. Like, I don't know, this is not it. But by the time you can convince that client, say, this works well, this works perfectly well for you, and the client agrees to that, and like, okay, good, I will work with this. That wows me a lot. That's really tickling my fancies more. I enjoy that more because, one, since I'm commercial, I just have to add value to the client first before I start getting public notion, like, okay, this thing is not nice, this thing is, because one thing I tell you, see, you can't satisfy everybody. Everybody will actually buy into your idea.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow, amazing. You have to first add value to the clients. That is so, so key. Like, it's just amazing. There's a school of thoughts that would be like, it has to be first visually appealing. Like, it has to look good. It has to feel good. Design basically is functional. Like,
definitely. Definitely. And another thing, design is relative. Like, one thing that looks good for you might not look good for the other person.
Definitely.
If you want to drive on that notion of it has to wow everybody, then there might be issue along the line. So you have to look at the problem and ensure you are giving a solution to that problem, and once you are done with that, then every other thing follows. But your first mindset would be, okay, I want to create a solution to this problem. So that's it.
Wow, amazing. I really, really appreciate your time. I don't take it for granted. Thank you so, so much for taking this time. Before we go, two more things. In your experience so far, what one thing has helped you in this career path? What one thing have you been doing that has helped you stay at the top of your game in this career path?
I think one thing that worked for me first is that I've just been treading on the grace. Like, I don't want to say it's actually by me, but want to say that it's actually from the grace of God, which have actually helped me thus far. Because sometimes I look at myself and we just started this design thing barely, like, almost getting to 4 years now. Mm. And in the eyes of some people, it looks as if I've been doing this thing like way back. And then that me, I'm still just new. I've not actually gone far. I still have a lot of things I need to learn. But people might be saying, no, this guy has been doing this good. He has been in this thing for long. No. If I shock you more, I never heard or know that there's a career as graphics, even in 2011 or 2012.
Wow.
That's been 2011. 2011, I never knew anything like graphic design as a career or existed. I never knew they could say, okay, this is a flyer, this is a roll-up banner. I never knew names to those things. I was just into another kind of career path that I never knew of any other thing within this space. Mm. So I would say I'm still growing and I'm treading on the grace. And another thing again is after the grace, I have tried to be myself. I have tried to be myself no matter all the consequences no matter the things I see or the experiences I have. I don't want to live or I don't want to work based on people and impression or people's action.
Mm, yeah.
I take choices, I take decisions myself.
Mm. Wow.
First, I need to be sure that, okay, I'm satisfied with the decision. Then I go with it.
Wow.
Because by the time I am not convinced on my own that, okay, this thing works well, or I like this thing, or I like this direction I'm going.
Mm.
Trust me, when people start saying, this is nice, that same people that might be telling you this is nice right now might end up telling you this is not nice tomorrow.
You have
to be convinced with your own self first, which is something that I've helped me thus far.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very, very convinced by myself on my own actions first before I end up listening to other people. I have to be very convinced. So those are the things that helped me in my own path.
Wow, amazing. I've picked a whole lot from today's episode. Your humility, your teachable spirit, like, it's amazing. And you've been you allow yourself to be yourself and be convinced about any action you want to take, like, and be sure of it and stick it out. That's just amazing. I really, really appreciate. Okay, before we let you go, what would be your advice to intending creatives, people just entering the industry newly? Like, what would you advise them to do? And also to bosses in the industry, what would also be your advice to them, to two sets of people?
Okay, I'll start with the intending.
All right.
My advice to the intending would be not to give up. Trust me, first you need to convince yourself this is what you want to do. Because on my profile, I like saying I'm a proposed graphic designer because I chose graphic design at some point in my life. Like, I had that point of choosing between two career fields and I chose graphic design itself. So be intentional about your actions first. Then dedicate your time towards that action. The result might not come instantaneously, like coming in once that fast, but gradually you would see the growth growing. So once you have decided, okay, graphic design is my choice of career, follow through that path. Follow through it, no matter how slow you might think you are going, just consistently pull through it. Definitely, before you could even see anything, things will start evolving. Things will change, definitely, because when you start looking at your works which you did years back the line and what you'll be doing years forward, you know, okay, wow, there's actually a huge difference.
Yeah.
And one thing I would try to let them understand is, in as much as you aspire to be somebody, never compare yourself to that person. That's one thing I would tell them too. In as much as I'm aspiring to be this badass designer as Chris Doe or as Tola Labua, no, I try not to compare myself with anybody, even those within my own level. I don't compare myself because we are all wired differently.
Yeah.
We are all wired to function differently. So by the time I start saying, I'm not as good as this particular guy, it weighs me down. And once I get way down, it kills my interpretation of things. It kills how I focus and execute things.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than not getting all that done, I just have to be myself. I just have to tread through my own path, slow and steadily. Sure, because I know at the end of the day, I would actually break through. So one thing I just tell them is, you should just be yourself. You should keep practicing. And they should be intentional about their actions. Not just floating with the tide of, okay, let me just be lounging here. Once anything good comes, I just move.
Wow. Amazing. Okay. So to bosses in the industry and already established creatives.
Okay. Okay, so the bosses and the already established creative, I would say they also should give an helping hand to the ones growing, to the ones coming up. Because, yeah, sure, I would also compliment the fact that a lot of them are doing that.
Yeah.
But to also buttress on it more, we should also continually give helping hands, because at the end of the day, if they claim to be bad as good guys and they all phase out, what these ones that are coming into the industry, are growing into the industry, won't work to that point or do as much as they have done.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, the
standard of design in Nigeria,
the standard is already going down.
Mm-hmm.
So they should give more helping hands to those that are coming up, and they should be attentive to their calling too. And I know sometimes these ones coming up too might not really have a better approach on talking with them, because one thing I observed is, and one thing I avoided why I started that, was the upcoming ones, when they send out mails or they send out messages to those that are established, they don't make their points straight. Like, take for instance, you are chatting me up, I'm like, hi. Like, I think it doesn't sound nice.
Yeah.
Just have to go straight. Hello, so and so by name. Place out why you are actually sending in that
email
message or that mail. But one thing I do is, as soon as I first of all give the normal pleasantry, I try to commend your work. I try to tell you how nice. I try to eulogize you more, because that works. Even when you are praying as a Christian, you say, first of all, you thank God. So you first of all praise that person. Try to make person understand that his work or our work inspires you and a lot of people around. Say good things that you know that are good about his or her work. That would also give him the strength to read your mails further. Because by the time you start reading, like, this is that, and he's getting happy reading those kind of compliments. Then he now gets to a point where he says, okay, this is my problem. I need to state this. I need to state that. I think he would be kind enough to respond. But by the time you just go with, hi, or hello, so and so by name, and so I think they should find a way of structuring their requests when they are trying to
approach
well-established designers or well-established creative.
Wow.
So these are what I would say to the both categories of people.
Okay. Amazing. I really, really appreciate your time. I don't take it for granted at all. Thank you so much, Boss MM Didymus, the billionaire designer. Finally, how could clients and other people get in touch to you? What's the best way? Is it email? Is it Twitter? Or what's the best way to reach you?
Okay, I could reach on Twitter, on email,
okay,
or Instagram.
All right.
Like, I'm more active on Instagram, Facebook, and emails. I'm less active on Twitter.
I'm
trying to get used to Twitter right now.
All right.
So those are the links you could hit me up. And my phone numbers are on the platforms too.
Okay. I will drop your Facebook and Instagram handles. I'll drop it in the show notes for this episode so our listeners can get to it.
Okay, sure, no problem.
Yeah, thank you so much, sir. It's been an amazing time. To our listeners out there, I trust you've picked a ton of information and actionable content from today's episode. Remember to be intentional about your actions and decisions. Remember to go out today and create awesomeness. My name is Bright Emeka, and I will see you next week.